Well, good morning, Life Point. How are we today? My name is Ray Green, and here's my crew up here on the screen. This is my family. I wanted to introduce them all to you. My wife, I think, there we go. There's my wife, Sarah, my two girls, Addison and Emily. One is going into middle school. One is going into high school. And I'm not on staff here at Life Point, but we're all in. We attend just like you. Sometimes we're late. Sometimes we fight on the way. Sometimes we grab coffee, whatever the case is. So if I see you next week, maybe we sit next to each other, whatever, just we'll fist bump or whatever. But it is an honor to be here and just to share a little bit. Excited to have Pastor Dean back next week. But it's great to be here, and I consider it really an honor. So a little bit about me and our family. I'm from Ohio, and I've lived in different states in our country. And one of the things that my wife and I love to do, among other things, is to hike. Anybody like to hike here? Yeah, all the beautiful mountains in Ohio, right? Well, we lived in North Georgia at the time, and we were right at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains. That's where we lived. And we would go to the Appalachian Trail occasionally. And so this one particular time, we went to our favorite hiking spot. And it was a 3-mile hike into these beautiful waterfalls and hike back out. It was like a nice couple hour hike. And so we go to this one afternoon. It's my wife, it's our dog, our chocolate lab, and our little daughter, Addison, at the time. She was a little baby. We just put her in a little backpack, and she'd be along for the ride. So we hike all the way in. We go to the waterfalls, and we're like, all right, we better get back before it's dark. So we start hiking back to our car, and we're probably about a mile, 2 miles, something like that, from getting back. And we're on the trail, and we're hiking, and all of a sudden I stop, and I'm like, is that a baby bear cub crying? And I turn to my wife, and she says, how do you know what a baby bear crying sounds like? I'm like, well, it sounds like exactly like they do on the Discovery Channel. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like. She's like, I don't know, Ray. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. So literally, we just kept walking, and we go around the bend. And sure enough, our dog, unbeknownst to us, had cornered a black bear cub, a little baby bear up in a tree. It looked like a stuffed animal crying up in the tree in front of us. And I just froze because I knew if it was a little baby that was upset, guess who else was upset? Mama bear. And I know that I was like, this is not good. And so instincts just took over. They just took over. And so what I did is I went and grabbed Addison out of that backpack, and I just took off down the trail. Sarah's running with me. Our dog's running with us. And he's like, what's going on, guys? We don't know. Let's have some fun. And we're just running down the trail as fast as we can. And I sprint at least a mile. And I don't know if you've ever sprinted with something in front of you that weighs like 25, 30 pounds, but it, you know, it's an exercise all in and of itself. So I get tired. True story. I get tired and the hiking, you know, the hiking boots are getting a little heavy and I trip on a rock on the trail. And so I trip my daughter goes flying out in front. Like I fumble my daughter all the way out and I land on the trail and there she lies. Thankfully doesn't hit any rocks. And my wife channels inner Jack Sawyer from the playoffs last year, I mind you. She comes around me laying there. She picks up my daughter in mid-stride, disappears around the corner, and she yells out, I hope you're okay. I think she said, I love you. I don't know. But then at that point, I remember getting up completely discombobulated, thinking Mama Bear is going to kill me at any minute, right? And I was bleeding, and I'm completely overwhelmed, and I thought, well, here it is. This is how it's all going to end. And I tell that story because I think that a lot of us in this room feel that all the time, that we're doing this thing called life and the pressures and the pace and all of the things, right? And we just feel like we just keep stumbling and tripping, and we get up and we're like, life is about ready to just maul us. And we're not okay. In fact, I don't know if there's any country fans here. I like country music, and an artist, Jelly Roll, he sung this song and it kind of captured my attention. These are the lyrics. It says, I am not okay. I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days and I'm losing sleep at night. I am not okay. I'm hanging on the rails. So if I say I'm fine, well, just know I learned to hide it well. Anybody relate to Jelly Roll? Because I do. And today, as we finish the teaching series Practicing, how we learn about what does it look like to follow Jesus in our life all summer long, today we come to this last topic, and it's the Sabbath. But more importantly, it's rest. And even more importantly, what does rest look like? And what does rest in our life look like? Well, what I love is what Jesus has to say about that. So if you have the Bible today, you brought it, I'd love for you to get it out, or maybe you have your smartphone or a tablet. I would love for you to find Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. And we're going to read something. It only takes a couple seconds to read, but yet it transforms our life if we let it. And the setting here, Jesus, he's speaking to some of his closest followers, his disciples, and he's speaking to them, and I believe he hits them right where they need to hear it. And the setting was that Jesus is in the life of his ministry, and there's a lot of talk behind the scenes. Is Jesus the Messiah? In fact, early on in Matthew chapter 11, you find that even John the Baptist, he's asking the question, is Jesus the Messiah? And so Jesus, he speaks into this, but even more so, he speaks into their hearts, their lives, our hearts, our lives, who are exhausted, who are weighed down. And what I love is what he says. So if you have it, if you would just read out loud with me all together, we can read it on the screens. Here we go. Ready? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's shouting to the disciples, the exhausted, the I can't even crowd. They were like ships with too much cargo. They couldn't even get out of the actual area they needed to. And here's why I think that they would have sat up when they heard this statement, because they were Israelites. They lived under what is known as the Mosaic Law, 613 laws that God had given. But then religious leaders had piled up rule after rule after rule after rule. They couldn't even function. They're completely weighed down. They couldn't do it. They were exhausted. I think that this message to them is just as much a message for us. He says to them, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Other translations of the Bible, it says all who are weary. In fact, the Message, a paraphrase of the Bible, this is what it says. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and rightly. I mean, how important were those words then and now? Because when we're weighed down, we're just not our best, are we? When we're weighed down, we are impatient parents. When we're weighed down, we are cranky coworkers. When we're weighed down, we are eye-rolling children. To our parents, to our coaches, to our teachers. When we're weighed down, we say stuff, at least I do anyways, that I gotta untangle, and it may take me a day, a week, a month to kind of bring back into the occasion. When we're weighed down, and so this scripture, maybe you've read it before, I had, but maybe you need to relearn it today like I've needed to relearn it. In fact, this is the truth that God has me on in this season of my life. And I believe it because this is what this scripture has been teaching me, that my not okayness, I guess that's a word, has nothing to do with all of the external stuff around me. It has nothing to do with the news, politics. It has nothing to do with my wallet, and I wish I had more in it. It has nothing to do with my wonderful children, who at times do give me the epic eye roll. It has nothing to do with anything to do with my marriage. It has nothing to do with my house and all the maintenance that's needed, or my disobedient dog. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has everything to do with the fact of who this Jesus is in my life. In fact, he reminds me that that rest has nothing to do about rearranging life's furniture. Because I wrote this down, no app, no relationship, no 401k amount, no energy drink, no inbox zero pipe dream can fix your soul, not even coffee. And as awesome as coffee is, right? Can I get an amen? It's not going to fix your soul or bring you rest. In fact, the more we try to look to these things, the more and more and more our exhaustion intensifies. So Jesus, he brings this metaphor into the kind of the picture, a yoke. Now, what is he talking about? Not an egg yolk, okay? Actually, Richard, he's a volunteer here. He's going to bring out what is actually a yolk. And what Jesus does is he brings this metaphor into the occasion. And you would think, man, exhausted, emotionally like spent people in what Jesus, thank you so much, man. Jesus gives this analogy and he gives them a heavy wooden crossbeam. You would have thought he would have given them like a mattress or a vacation, right? But he gives him this. Why? He's using this incredibly powerful metaphor. This metaphor of that in their day, what they would do is they would take a yoke like this and they would put the animal's head like this through, and then it would like sit on their shoulders and together they would plow a field. They all would have known what it was like. I'm going to like drop this thing, geez. It's an incredible metaphor. And what he is saying is like, this is where the plot twists here. He's saying, look, he's not saying you don't have a yoke, take mine. He's saying you already have a yoke. It's a Netflix binge episode, or it's a relationship, or it's your passion in life, or it's this, or it's that. You fill in the blank. He said you already have a yoke. It's not just mine. He said, see, when you're yoked to me, Jesus says, when you're yoked to me, that's when things change. That's when rest really starts to take place. When you're yoked to Jesus, guess who carries the weight? When you're yoked to Jesus and you need wisdom, guess who has all the wisdom? You see, the central truth to this scripture is this, that rest isn't in the getaway of life. It's found in the guide. That rest, true rest, isn't in the getaway, the temporal escape of life. It's found in the guide. You see, your soul isn't craving a stress-free life. It's craving more of Jesus. You can take a vacation. You can mute your phone. Those are all good things. And I think you should do both of those things. But you can do those things, but you can come back like a deflated pool toy. Why? Because it's not found its true sense of rest. Rest isn't in the getaway. It's found in the guide. And Psalm 23 nails it. Maybe you know this incredible truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What does he say next, everybody? He restores my soul. He. Not a vacation, not the beach, not even tacos, even though my wife would claim they're divine. He does. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but Jesus is the very source and foundation of our true rest. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you really want rest, this is where you're going to get it. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, man, that sounds pretty good. A life just full of ease. Sign me up. Me too, right? But I want you to understand that Jesus wasn't saying quite that, because following Jesus, it's its own challenge. In fact, he told his disciples, in this world, you're going to face trials, tribulations. He never promised a challenge-free life. But what he did promise was, in life's fiercest storms, what he did promise was whatever pressure you encounter and whatever pressures the disciples encountered, he would be with us all along the way. And there's rest and there's peace in the midst of that. And people are going to be looking at you like, how in the world are you doing what you're doing? And you're saying, because I know who's with me. I know who's with me. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to understand this truth for your life. He invites us into it. And then there's a promise. If you notice, he says, come to me. There's the invitation, all who labor and are heavy laden. And then he says, I will give you rest. It's a promise. And in the Greek language with which Matthew's gospel is written in, it's actually written in such a way, it's more emphatic. All caps, Jesus says, I will rest you. And the word rest in their language, it meant, I want you to take off a burden and I want you to lay it down. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take your burden off and I want you to take something else instead. And so we have to ask the question, how do we find this kind of rest? Well, Jesus, I love it. Practically speaking, he helps us grab this verse, this truth, and to institute it right into our heart, right into our lives, right into the rhythms of where we are, just like he did with the disciples. In verse 29, he gives us two steps to rest. If you're taking notes, you can write this first one down. Number one, take his yoke. Take his yoke. He says it right here in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, maybe you just came for the first time, or maybe you've been checking things out. You're like, why would I really take that? I mean, I just want to kind of stay in my compartmentalized life, Ray. I don't know about that. Here's the reason why. I think Jesus makes the point here that all the other types of rest, vacations, silence in your phone, a day off, all of those things are good. And you should do those. And you should have a regular rhythm of those. But they're just temporal. They're just a quick getaway. And guess what is waiting for you when you get back? How many of you, don't show your hands, have ever thought to yourself when you get back from a vacation, I need a vacation from my vacation? I have. That's why you take his yoke. Because when you yoke yourself to the boundless joy that Jesus has, the Prince of Peace, no matter how bad your inbox looks, no matter how many times your phone rings, no matter what you're encountering, there's a peace in all of it. This last week, my inbox was just blowing up, and I had just spent like 48 hours on this one financial that I was working on because I work in business. And I remember I had messed up one little detail and I was so frustrated, and somebody else on the team pointed it out to me and I was like, okay, we've got to work through that now. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to the Lord. And right there in that minute, I just went to the Lord in prayer. I read God's truth and boom, there was peace in the middle of it. That's why you yoke yourself to Jesus. I've had the opportunity to actually see somebody else close to me walk through this and take up their yoke. It's somebody that's really, really close to me. It's my mom. My mom took up her yoke when she was a young teenager. She's been following Jesus for many years. She's, you know, like anybody else, there's been ups and downs along the way. But recently, my mom gathered all of us together in her house, and she said, I'm going to be looking at a new journey. It's the journey of cancer. And we were all shocked by it. We were crying and asking, like, well, what kind of cancer, and how much time do you have to live, and all these things. But what she said just blew me away. She didn't really talk about any of that. She just said, you know, I've been sleeping really good. And I'm like, man, she is in denial. Like, gosh. But then I realized she's not in denial. She's just yoked to Jesus. And I began to see what my mom did. She would give herself to the Word of God. She'd yoke herself to Jesus. She would yoke herself to prayer. She would look and build community around her, people that were praying for her. And she discovered this unbelievable rest in the middle of what you and I might call a freak out moment. And what I love, what one day, about a month later, I called her up and I was like, okay, so how did the appointment at Ohio State go? And she's like, oh, right, I met the coolest people. I'm like thinking to myself, I don't care who you met. I just want to know the details. And she's like, Ray, there were these people that were crying there, and I just got a chance to get to know them. I met them. I met their family. We prayed together. It was wonderful. I'm thinking, did you even go to the doctor? She's discovered an entirely new mission. You see, rest isn't found. It's not found in the getaway. It's found in the guide. Well, who can take his yoke? Well, it's found right there. It says, come to me. What does it say? All. That's you. That's me. That's the person that took your parking spot. That's everybody. And what he says is, come to me. And then he shows his heart so that you can trust him. Look at it with me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And I love this. Don't skip over this. This is sometimes something we just kind of gloss over. But you got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got 89 chapters in the Bible, in the Gospels, that just depict Jesus and tell his incomplete and truthful narrative of his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And yet this is the only time he actually shares about his heart. And there in his scripture, he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. And lowly in heart, what it means is, he's more passionate and accessible He is more passionate about arms open wide and coming to him than pointed finger. And I love that. So that you and I can come to him even when we feel ashamed, even when you and I know we've blown it. We can come to him in all of his grace and all of his mercy. And we can take up his yoke. There's a legend about his yoke. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's fascinating that Jesus, before his ministry, he was a carpenter, we know that, but he made the best ox yokes in Nazareth. And above his shops, there's a sign that said, "The best yokes fit the best," or something like that. And I don't know if that's true, but what I love to think about is the fact that he makes a yoke, not just like generic, but one built just for you. Because the yoke was fitted and made in such a way, friend, that it was built so that it curved just right and it fit the animal's shoulders right so it wouldn't pinch or pull, but it would fit them and how they were created. And Jesus, he makes a yoke for you and I just right for us. Well, the next question I had was, well, how do I take up his yoke? And the passage here, I think it's clear, we just give up control. We give up control. You see, when you're yoked to Jesus, you're walking in tandem with him. You're aligned with him. When two oxen would put this yoke on, it's not like they would go on a divergent walk, right? One couldn't go this way and the other one could go that way. What would happen? They'd both have to put their yoke on, and then they would be like, all right, you ready? Here we go. And together. And Jesus is saying, hey, give up control. Walk with me. Take up my yoke. Take up my yoke. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Take up my yoke. Give up control. And the question is, have you given up control, friend? Maybe you've never given up control to Jesus, or maybe you have in the past, but yet you find yourself today, you're not yoked to Jesus. You've wandered and you're on a walk by yourself. Jesus says, would you once again align yourself, give yourself control to me? He says, take up my yoke. And then secondly, two steps to rest. The first one, take his yoke. And then secondly, he says, learn from me. Look at it with me in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from him. What I want you to picture right now is I want you to picture two ox. You got one ox on one side, one on the other, and you got a veteran ox on the right. He's been around the block. He's a little gray, but he's a wily, sage ox. And you got the new guy, the rookie. He's ready to go. He's ready to get out there. He's ready to prove himself. He doesn't really know the way. He doesn't know how fast to go. There's all these things that the rookie ox doesn't know. But the old sage ox, what does the sage ox do? He says, listen, learn from me. You're going to have to go at the right pace. You're going to have to know the right way. You're going to have to take the right steps. Learn from me. Learn from me. Jesus is inviting us not just to put on the yoke, but then to learn from in such a way that we would begin to open-minded, diligent hearts begin to really, truly learn what it looks like to follow him. And when we learn to follow him, the beautiful thing is we learn to thrive. Because Jesus said, look, this, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to bring you life and life abundantly. So learn from me, thrive in this life, not just in this life and in the life to come eternally, but start right now, learn from me. Because Jesus actually, it was so cool, Jesus actually knew how we're wired. I read an excerpt from a book recently. The book is called Hacking of the Human Mind. And this is what's so fascinating. In this book, it actually talks about people are most content not when they're entertained or when they're pleasured. This is crazy. They actually are the most rested when they learn. So Jesus knew. He knew that you're going to find rest when you begin to learn. You're going to find rest when you learn. So if you're a student in the room today, don't stop learning about Jesus. If you're a middle-aged adult like I am, 45, don't stop learning about Jesus. If you're a senior adult here in the room, if you're not dead, you're not done. Never stop learning about Jesus. This open-minded, my mentor used to say, Ray, you never graduate from the school of discipleship. You just keep learning. So you bring that to the thing and you begin to learn, what does Jesus want from us in our lives? And all of a sudden it unlocks this incredible supernatural life that we get to live in adventure. And you think about the disciples, what he would have taught the disciples. And you think about maybe later on after the resurrection, what they would recall that they had learned from him. Maybe every time they would see a loaf of bread or they would eat it, they would recall the time in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus feeds the thousands with just a few bread, and then he gathers them all together later and says, hey, come here, I want you to know that I'm the God of the cosmos and I can do anything. Or maybe every time they would see a bird, they would remember the time in Matthew's gospel chapter 6. They're anxious, they're worried. And Jesus, he points to a bird up in a tree and he says, you see that bird? He's not going back and forth, worried about what he's going to eat or where he's going to sleep. God cares about the bird. He cares even more about you, guys. Don't worry. Jesus teaches them that when we worry, like faith or worry runs wild when our faith fails. Or would every time they would make a mistake or stumble, maybe they would remember the story of Jesus in Luke's gospel, chapter 15, about the prodigal son, where he goes off, spends all of his money, comes back with his tail between his legs because he knows he's been a complete idiot. And what does Jesus tell the story about? That the Father God says it's never too late to come back home to him, ever. Or every time a loved one would hurt their feelings and tear open a new wound, or there was disloyalty, or trust was broken, that Jesus teaches them that forgiveness is not a once thing, or a twice thing, a three times thing, but it's an unending thing. Why? Because that's what God does to us. Jesus says, listen, the truth is that unforgiveness is like taking rat poison and hoping the other person dies. Or every time they would face exhaustion, maybe they would remember how Jesus lived his life. That Jesus lived this entirely different rhythm. And for a minute, I just want you to understand that Jesus, there were times that he would draw away to take a day off, a Sabbath. There were times when he would kind of draw away to be with the Father God, that he would vacation, but he wouldn't just leave everything at the side. He would actually vacation mostly to connect with his heavenly Father. But he operated on this entirely different rhythm, and that was this, that Jesus would rest to work, that he would literally rest so that he was a fountain and not a drain in his life. And I think a lot of times what we do, at least I do, is I work to rest. But Jesus, he would rest to work. And they would learn that lesson as they learned from Jesus. Or every other time they saw money, maybe they would remember how many times in Luke's gospel chapter 12 that Jesus said, listen, it's not about stacking cash. It's not about shiny toys. But it's about the mission of God. Or every time they faced hardship, maybe they'd remember how Jesus faced hardship. He faced the real difficult things of life. That even in the middle of being all that pressure, Jesus prays for strength and he says, listen, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Or maybe every time they saw some type of a wash pan, they would remember that epic scene in John chapter 13 where Jesus, he gets down on his knees. And he washes the dirty feet of the disciples. He puts a towel around his arm and he teaches them it's all about service, not about clout. Or maybe they would remember every time they would see water. Maybe they were obsessed with water like we're obsessed with water. I don't know. This last week I was grilling in my backyard and I started to walk in with the food that I had just grilled and it started raining. My first reaction was, oh my gosh, I'm going to get wet. And I thought, how ironic is that? How funny is that? Because aren't we like made mostly of water? And then I thought even further, I think it's funny because we'll pay a lot of money to put a hole in our backyard to put water so we can sit by the water or jump in the water, right? Or we'll go to the beach and sit on sand, right, so we can be close to the water. Or we'll jump in the water. My girls, they have these expensive water bottles and they'll walk them around like they're Oscars. And then it rains, and what do? Oh, no, I'm going to melt. Cover my water bottle. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But maybe they were, you know, obsessed with water, and they'd remember the time where they're in a storm, and Jesus walks on the water. And he calls Peter out to do the same, and Peter goes to do it. He starts to, and then he looks at the waves. He begins to sink, and Jesus says, eyes on me in the midst of the storm. The call to learn from Jesus means this open-hearted, passionate chase to look more like Jesus and less like your old self. But I need to tell you this, that learning from Jesus isn't an elevator ride. You see, when you get on an elevator, what happens? You push the button and, you know, you go down, right? Or you go up. You don't do any work. And too many of us here want to be elevator Christians. We don't want to do anything. We just kind of want to like, well, I'm kind of like here and at least I do. But Jesus calls us entirely different to take the stairs with him. Because taking the stairs, it takes work, right? Taking the stairs is a little bit of effort. It's going to build muscle. But taking the stairs is going to transform us because we're going to get to the top and we're going to look down or we're going to look up and we're going to say, look where we came from. We accomplished something. We're different. We're going to look back in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, a lifetime and be like, look how I've changed because I've learned from Jesus. But even in the learning, Jesus gives us the strength. He finishes there in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A light burden, that's an oxymoron. That's like sugar-free, like chocolate syrup, right? That shouldn't be in the same phrase. A burden, by definition, is heavy. But in farming, they never put a weak ox with another weak ox. They would always put a strong ox with the weak ox. And guess who does all the pulling? The strong ox. And so is the burden of even learning to live like Jesus. That he does and carries the way. And if you're here today and maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, and you're just like, man, I'm tired of trying to do this. You've been doing it all wrong, friend. I heard this incredible analogy, and I want you to think about it for a moment. Picture someone who's in a pickup truck. Even better, picture that you're in the pickup truck and you're driving up a hill. And as you're driving up a hill, which is a pretty steep hill, you see on the right-hand side there's a hitchhiker and they're walking up the same hill, but they're going to take for a long time and they're carrying a really big backpack. And as you drive by, out of the kindness of your heart, you pull over on the side of the road, you motion to them, hey, go ahead, get in the back, get in the back of the pickup bed. And so they graciously go back, unhitch the tailgate, they get in the back, and you kind of pull back onto the road and you keep going up the hill and you're like, yeah, I'm so glad they're in the back, taking the load off. And you look up in the rearview mirror and they're sitting in the bed of the pickup, but they still got the backpack on. You're thinking to yourself, they don't get it. And so you pull back over and you get out of the car and you go back and you say, hey, friend, the truck that carries you carries the load. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling the disciples and us today. Here in this room, I believe there's like two different groups of people that I want to speak to. I've been thinking about it a lot this over the last couple weeks. Maybe you came in today and you've yoked yourself to Jesus forever in the past. But today you come in and maybe Jesus is calling you once again to take the stairs with him. Maybe you find yourself distracted for whatever reason. Listen, this is the journey I've taken too many times. I'm like, you know, like Doug on that old Disney movie, like squirrel, you know, and I'm not even yoked to Jesus any longer. And you've come here today, and this is a call for you. God is calling you right now in this place. I don't know your name. I don't know your story. He's saying, I want you to take the stairs with me again. And in this moment now, that you would recommit yourself to learn and be like Jesus. Because in this broken, messed up, dysfunctional world, I believe with all my heart that people need to run into other people who are learning to be like Jesus. That you are a walking, talking, breathing Christ follower. Are you different? Am I different? I asked myself the question this morning, and maybe you do, of yourself. There's an amazing poem that someone wrote, and I want to share these words. It says that you are writing in the gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. And men read what you write, distorted or true. So what is the gospel according to you. May it be that when they find me, they find someone who's just learning and is in the school of discipleship. And I pray for the same for your life. So today, God is calling you to take the stairs again with him. And then there's another group of people, I believe, here today. Maybe you come here today, you've never taken up the yoke of Christ. You've been running hard, and you've tried all these different things to find rest, vacations, resources, all these things, and yet you feel like you've run a marathon in flip-flops. And Jesus is saying, come to me. He did to me when I was just 17 years of age. I grew up on the east side of Columbus, and I found myself in Pickerington High School cafeteria, hiding from God. And God met me right there. He said, it's time, Trey, to come to me. And there's a couple of things I realized. First of all, that I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't find peace with God or in my heart. I admitted the fact that I was a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 talks about that. But then second of all, in that moment, I crossed the line where I believed that Jesus Christ was my Lord and my Savior, and that he bore all of my sins. He took on all of my punishment, and that way I could have peace with Almighty God because of what Jesus did on the cross, and he rose from the grave. I believed. And then finally, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 talks about that when you literally believe and you confess that Jesus rose from the grave, you'll be saved. And that day, my life forever changed. And maybe today is your day. I don't know. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you came with a friend. Maybe you've been coming for a while. But wherever you are, you're listening online or here today, Jesus says, come. Come to me. Because guess what? He's already paid the penalty of your sin. He already did the work on the cross. And when he rose from the grave, guess what? Everything is there. And he waits you to say yes to him. So would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? And would you just, for a moment, tell maybe God in this moment, God, I rededicate my life to taking the stairs with you. Right now, I do. I want to learn and pursue you. Or maybe today, right now in this place, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm going to ask you right now, would you tell God, God, I'm a sinner. I believe. I've searched everywhere else, and now I come to you. I believe. Would you save me? Would you forgive me? And I give up control of my life because I believe that you are my Savior. God, thank you so much that even messed up, broken, sinful people like Ray Green can truly find rest, not in the temporary relief of life, but in ultimately in thanks, God, that you saved me and that you continue to teach me. And I thank you, God, that you invite me to a journey of taking the stairs with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to be faithful and merciful to me. And I pray for the same for every single person here today. And together we will, Lord, we'll take your yoke and we'll learn from you. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Will you all stand and